And now we're going to have a special time where we're going to hear the word of God through our wonderful sister Winifred. So why don't we just give her a hand as she comes up. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to hearing from you, today. Why don't we just pray before we start? Father, we just thank you so much for our dear sister, and we thank you that you've just put a word on her heart. And Father, we just pray that you would just fill her and bless her with your anointing, oh God, and Lord, that your word would just achieve what it set out to achieve this morning, oh God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Hello, everyone. We want to thank God for this opportunity that God has given to us. You know, we at this time of the year, we're going through so much uncertainty. You know, some people have lost hope. You know, people are so discouraged. People are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I want to encourage you this morning. Yes, it's still morning. I want to encourage you this morning that just as Pastor Ralph said yesterday, that God is still in control. No matter what the situation is, God is in control. You know, I want to talk around this time of the year. Normally, people are thinking of Easter. Easter is coming. You know, we think of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But because of the situation now, because of the coronavirus, everyone is thinking about coronavirus. So there's a bit of a distraction. But I want to bring us back to this time of the year. You know, I'll tell a story about a young man who was seeking happiness. This young man said to himself, you know what? I'm not happy. I need happiness. And so he said to himself, what I'm going to do, I'm going to build a house. I'm going to work hard, build a house so that I'll be happy. He worked hard, he built his house, and when he went to the house, he found out that he wasn't happy. Then he said, probably I need another house, because some people have more than one houses. I need another house. So he said, I'll build one with a pool and everything. It will be on top of a mountain so that I can have a beautiful view, which he did not find happiness. He decided to travel. He went abroad, make new friends, thinking by doing that he'll get happiness. It didn't work. Came back home, and he decided to go into drinking, drugs. You know, still he couldn't find happiness. He went into charity work, thinking that through charity, helping others, he'll be able to find happiness. But he didn't. He started to go to church. He went to church, he sang with the congregation. The pastor or the preacher stood up and preached about the cross of Jesus, how Jesus went through the cross. And for that guy, it's like the cross is like foolishness. That's not why I'm here. You know, I want happiness. He was looking for happiness, but he did not find happiness. And unfortunately for him, one day he died. And when he died, the story goes on to say that he met with God and he wanted to go to heaven. And God says, no, that's not the place for you. This is where you have to go, to hell. And he was like, God, didn't you see all the things that I did? I had a charity. I went to church. I was seeking happiness. And then God says to him, you were in church. I was stretching forth my hands to you so that you could get the happiness and beyond. The preacher preached of what I did when I sent my only begotten son to die on the cross, but you rejected the cross. And so because of that, you are going to hell. You know, this is a story, but there is some truth in this story, you know. And that brings me to what I am preaching today. What I'm preaching today is the power of the cross. The power of the cross. And the scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, which says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Why is the cross so powerful? I'll be looking at three things today. The cross is a place where Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. The cross is a place where Jesus redeemed the world. And the cross is the place where Satan was defeated. The cross is a place where Jesus shed his blood. Why blood? Why did Jesus have to shed his blood? Let's go a little bit further from the beginning. When Adam and Eve, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve were having fellowship with God at the very beginning. But then what happened? When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were separated. We all know the story. They were separated from God. And when God was coming to have fellowship with them, the Bible says they hid themselves. Why? Because they realized they were naked. They were separated from God. God did not just throw them away. He decided to do something. And if we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." So God made cloth for them through the skin of an animal. And God must have killed an animal. And I believe a blood was shed at that particular time. It was a blood of an animal. And then if we go further down to the time of the temple and the tabernacle, you know, during those times, when you have the tabernacle, you have the Holy of Holies where God dwells, and then you have the holy place, and then you have the high priest that goes into the Holy of Holies once a year to, first of all, make sacrifice for his own sin and then for the sin of the people. And during those days, no one just goes into the Holy of Holies. It's only the high priest. And even when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, they tie a rope around, a very long rope around his waist with a bell, so that in case he did not make the sacrifice for his own sin and goes in there and die, no one will be able to remove him from that place. So they will have to pull the rope and pull him out. So once he walks, the bell rings. Once he walks, the bell rings. But one thing we have to know, that the high priest goes in with the blood of goats and bulls. And when he goes in there, he goes there to make the sacrifice to cover the sins of the people. So he did not go there to wash people's sins away. No, it is to cover the sins of the people. I will read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. It says, "The blood of bulls and goats are used to cover the sins of the people. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that's only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of people that have committed sin ignorantly." So you see, the high priest goes there, just to cover the sin of the people. And this is something that is done year after year. Every year, the high priest has to do the same thing. And, you know, I just want to look at during those times when the high priest was using the blood of goats and the blood of sheep or the blood of bull to cover the sins of the people. Then Jesus Christ decided that, no, that is not enough. God sent Jesus Christ to come and die for our sins. God sent Jesus Christ to make that peace between God and man, so that man will not be making sacrifice with goats and bulls anymore. And Jesus came down. What Jesus did was, he came down. You know, when man sinned, there was a bridge. And so man was trying to reach God, but man was not able to reach God anymore. That bridge was there. And if you find out that people started doing things to please God, they would do good things, thinking that they would be able to reach God by doing good things. But Jesus Christ came, and the cross was what he uses to make the bridge, so that by dying on the cross, man can walk straight through the cross and can go through to God. Amen. And so we look at this. I try to compare the two sacrifices. When the priest made a sacrifice, he had to offer sacrifice, first of all, for his own sin. He has to offer sacrifice for his own sin. But when Jesus came, Jesus does not need to make sacrifice for himself. The Bible says, he that knew no sin died in our place. Hallelujah. And also, the other thing that the priest do, he needed to offer this sacrifice once a year. Every year he has to go there. But when Jesus came, he died once and for all. Hallelujah. And the priest, they used the blood of goats and bulls. But what did Jesus use when he made his own sacrifice? He uses his own blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And also, the priest have, it's an annual reminder of their sin. Like year after year, you have to go to the temple to do this sacrifice. It reminds people of their sin. But when Jesus came, he said, your sin I will remember no more. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, an example, there was a preacher who went to preach somewhere. It was nighttime. He had finished preaching. He was going back home. And he was attacked by this thief. And this thief went and attacked him. He said he wasn't having enough money, but he was having some books and tracts and then just a little bit of money. And this thief took the money from him and took the books, and he was running away. Then the preacher turned and called him, said, one more thing. And this thief turned and looked at the preacher. And the preacher says, if at any point you decided to change this behavior, remember, the blood of Jesus is available for you. And this guy just left, and he went to his way. Well, one day, a few years after, the preacher was standing at the back of the door, just shaking hands of people that came to church. And this young, wealthy businessman came to the preacher. He said, I know you will not remember me. Then he explained how he attacked him once and stole from me. But he says, now I am a businessman, you know, and I'm a successful businessman. And he said, I owe all to you. And then the man of God said, no, you do not owe all to me. You owe all to the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because it was the blood of Jesus that changed the life of that young man. It was the blood of Jesus. It was because Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. That's why he became saved. Hallelujah. And then I go on to the next point, which it says, he redeemed us with his blood. He redeemed us. Jesus redeemed us through the blood of Jesus. We have redemption through his blood. There is this guy who was living in a village, and he committed a very serious offense, which required execution. So when he went to court, the lawyer said, you either pay this amount of money or you will be executed. And when they told him the amount of money, he knew that he will not be able to pay that amount of money. His family knew that they will not be able to pay that amount of money. And so they took him to prison. And then they gave him a date. They said, well, for example, Saturday at 12 o'clock, we're going to get you and we're going to execute you. And he was like, he's giving up all hope, thinking that he is going to be executed. And just the same Saturday, a wealthy businessman heard about this young man, about his plight. And then the man says to himself, you know what? I am going to pay. I'm going to pay money for that man so that he will be set free, so that he will not go through execution. And so the businessman ran to the prison and then went there and he said to the officers, I'm going to pay. Look at the money. He had his briefcase. He put the money on top of the table. But what this young man didn't know, the man that was in prison didn't know, was someone has volunteered to pay for him. He was just looking at the time. He knows that Saturday at 12 o'clock, he will be a dead person. So on that Saturday, he was looking at the time. You know, it was going towards 10 to 12. He was looking at the time, thinking that, yes, oh gosh, it's all over. I'm going to die. His family, they were looking at the time, saying, yes, my husband, my dad, and whoever it is that related to him was saying he's going to die. 5 minutes towards the time, the guy says, you know, that's it. That's it. You know, it's coming too close. Not knowing that this businessman had paid for him. So 1 minute towards the time, he had the key at the door. And he was so scared. He didn't know what's going to be the next flight, what's going to happen. He knows that he was going to die, but he can't imagine where he will be after. Just 1 minute, the door opened, and the officer says to him, you are free. You are free to go home. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. The Bible says he died in our place. He that knew no sin, the Bible says, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we've lost, he paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He paid it in full. Hallelujah. You know, Isaac Watts wrote the song. It says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss. And poor contempt on all my pride. The power of the cross. Jesus redeemed us. He redeemed the world. He did not only die for the Christians. He died for the whole world. He died for you and for me. You may be at home. Listen to me this very hour. I want to let you know that Jesus died for you. He died for your sin. You have nothing else to do but to accept him into your life. It is by the grace of God. It is not by our works of righteousness. The Bible said there is no one righteous, no, not one. It says, the Bible said that our righteousness is like a filthy rag. So it's not about what you can do. It's about what Jesus has done for you. Hallelujah. And so it takes me to the next point, which says that Jesus defeats the enemy at the cross. He spoiled principalities and powers. It says the cross is the place where Satan was defeated. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, what Satan did he know is the fact that when Jesus says, it is finished, I believe Satan thought he said, I am finished. He didn't know that Jesus did not plan to stay dead. And so when Jesus died on the cross, Satan was so happy that him and his angels, I believe they were having a party. You know, like, yes, we've got him. We've got him. They were having a good time. You know, he cried, it is finished. It's done. We've done. Our job has been completed. But Jesus did not plan to stay dead. The Bible says, I'll read some scriptures. Matthew chapter 27, from verse 50 to 52, it says, And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rock split, and the tomb broke open. The bodies of many holy people who were dead were raised to life. Now, Satan was having a party. They were having a good time. All of a sudden, he had the place where they were started shaking. But he knew it was Jesus. He knew that Jesus had power, you know, and they were afraid. They were afraid because something has happened. And when Jesus died, the Bible said the curtain, you know, in the Old Testament days, there's a separation between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And during those times, God dwells in the Holy of Holies, and no one is allowed to go there. But when Jesus died, the Bible says that veil that was in between was torn into two from top to bottom so that man can get access to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Satan was afraid, thinking, oh, what's going to happen? In fact, when Jesus was placed in the tomb, you know, he organized, because everything behind all of those things, it was the devil. That's, you know, let's guard the body so that the disciple will not steal the body. You know, let's guard him. Let's try to protect him. You know, they put a very big stone. You know, the stone was so heavy that I don't know if the disciples were going to be able to roll that stone. But the Bible says on the third day, hallelujah, on the third day, he rose. He removed the stone and he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Yes, the Bible says if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Jesus Christ spoiled principalities and powers. He made an open show of them, triumphing over them. And so because of that, he says, I have given you authority. He says, I have given you power. I've given you authority that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So Jesus died so that we can defeat the enemy too. Because he has already defeated the enemy. And he has given us that authority. And you know, authority is like, for example, a soldier, a very young soldier, short, small, young soldier, you know, standing in front of a policeman standing in front of a traffic. When that policeman is on his uniform, no matter how that truck is so huge, if the policeman stretch forth his hand, the truck will stop. But imagine that person not wearing a uniform and standing, putting his hand before the truck, they would just bypass him. So the uniform that that police officer was wearing is his authority. So Jesus says, I have given you authority. It is not by your might, it is not by your power, but by the Spirit of the living God. He has given authority. He has given us his name. The Bible says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we can stand up and use the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus available to us. We have the word of God. We have to stand upon the word of God. The Bible says God is not a man that he could lie, neither the son of man that he could repent. So whatever God says he will do, he will do. You know, I remember back home, I went to preach at a particular church. And I went, before going to preach, I really prayed. But when I went to that church, I stood in front of the pulpit. As soon as I started, I wanted to start my message. I felt cold from the top of my head to my feet. And it has never happened to me. I was shaking. And then I was, you know, but I kept going. And I was saying, God, what is this? And then the Lord says, lift up your head. So I lifted up my head. There was a lady at the back of the church, and she was looking at me. She was shaking her head like this, and she was saying to me, shut up. And then her face was changing. She was doing like this, and her face was turning like animal. And I was looking at her, and she would stare at me. And I don't know whether the other people at the back close to her were seeing her, but she was saying to me, shut up, you know. And all of a sudden, I came to her and I said, you spirit, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and I cast you out of this place. And then she goes like that. And she came back to her senses. And, you know, I looked at her and I continued with my preaching. After I've preaching, and as soon as I said, woman at the back, I want to pray for you. She stood up. She knows herself. And she stood up and she came forward and we prayed for her. But what I want to say is, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. The Bible says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what is your situation. Maybe you have been sick. Because the enemy tried to put sickness on her. But the Bible says he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the Bible says by his stripes we were healed. So Satan wants to put us in bondage. That is his plan. But I want to tell you that Jesus Christ went through the cross so that he will deliver us from the bondage of the enemy. And so we can stand and use the word of God and tell the devil that, devil, listen to me, listen to what the word of God says. This is what the word of God says about me, and I'm going to stand upon the word of God, and I'm going to declare the word of God. I know I will be healed in Jesus' name. I don't know what is going on in your life. Is it from one problem to the other? You know, I ask myself, God, why did you give me this message? It's for me. So God dealt with me first before I could preach it to someone else. You know, why do you give this message to me? Because I've been going through difficult times in my life. But I tell you, let me tell you something. I know that the one that is in me is greater than the one that is in the world. Though he come in like a flood, the Spirit of God is going to lift up a standard against him. You know, I just say, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is the shade upon my right hand. The Lord shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hallelujah. God will preserve you during these difficult times, during this time where there's so much uncertainty, where people don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. There's so much going on. The coronavirus has gone all around the world. I want to encourage you, God always takes care of his own, and God will take care of you. God will protect you. You know, I want us to think a little bit. Probably you are at home and you have never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. I want you to ask yourself this question. If I die today, where will I go? Are you able to answer that question? If you die today, where will you go? Will you be like that guy who went and was looking for happiness, and even though Jesus Christ was presented to him, he refused it? Or will you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And this afternoon, I want to pray with you. If you have never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, I want you to bow your head and let's pray together. And I want even those of you who are here to join those people who are going to make this prayer for their first time. It's a very short prayer and it's a very simple prayer, but that's the beginning. Let us pray. I'd like you to say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Thank you for my life. I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I invite you into my life, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome into the kingdom of God if you've just accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. Now, I want to pray for people who are going through difficult times in their lives. I don't know what you're going through, but God knows what you're going through. And I want you, wherever you are, in your homes, in your bedroom, in this place, wherever you are, I want you to lift up your situation into the hands of God. Begin to tell God about that thing that is worrying you. Bible says we should, it says, call upon me, I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He said, ask and you shall receive. The Bible said, knock and you shall find. He said, knock and you the door will be open unto you. So at this time, I just want you to join me as we pray. Whether you are sick, I don't know, probably you have high blood pressure, probably you have kidney problem, probably you have knee problem, or whatever it is. And even as we pray, we remember Pastor Wilma, know that God will touch her even at this time, as she is unwell, as she's going through pain, that God will take control of that pain. Some people suffer with pain from one pain to the other. Some people suffer from one problem to the other. So I want you to join me as we pray this afternoon. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, oh God, I just present people that are sick into your hand. God, you said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. God, you have given us authority to bring down every stronghold. And right now I stand and I declare, I said, you spirit of sickness, I bind you and I cast you out in Jesus' name. I break your stronghold. I go down to the roots of your problem and I plead the blood of Jesus over those problems, oh God, and I set them loose. I set your people loose, oh God, from the attack of the enemy. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, because by your stripes we are healed. We claim that healing this very hour, oh God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We commit the world into your hand. The situation, the coronavirus issue, oh God, we commit it into your hand. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you take control. We know that your blood, when you see the blood, you pass over us. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.